Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Proud of the Jaguars running back, Fred Taylor. Jaguars postgame after the Jags fall in week six. 31-20, the final score. Texans a winner. They improve to 2-4. The Jaguars fall to 1-5. Turnovers, key times. Jags had a 14-10 lead at the start of the fourth quarter. 21 fourth quarter points for the Texans. A pick six. It really kind of put this game away, salted it away. The Texans go on for the win, but... same old story. Mistakes at inopportune times, Fred, but a fourth quarter lead and then give up 21 points at the end is that's a tough one to take today.
Yeah, it is tough. It's especially tough for me because I always try to say the right things and I try and be optimistic, but this is black and white. It's a bad team. When you make that many mistakes, it's just bad ball all the way around the board. There's no way to sugarcoat it for me. So I have to be honest, and that's what I see.
I can't really disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can.
It's not like, guys, they're just it's one area that's deficient and they can't overcome that. It's a different series of areas that are deficient right. Every single week, Fred. And, you know, you even go late in the game, yeah, the turnovers, but the one right before the half, you can't throw that pass
right. If
you're Blake Bortles. You can't turn that over when you're in point-blank range and you got points on the board in that situation. You know, they didn't get Allen Hurns involved today, although they did get Julius Thomas involved. So they, you know, and really we knew they were going to struggle, I think, to run the ball today without T.J. Yeldon in there, but didn't have much going in that department either. So it's tough to have balance.
It was real tough to have balance. But again, you know, I learned late in my career that this game is situational. It's situation football. And, you know, no matter what plays you call, you try not to hurt yourself. Because the other team is going to make some plays. And I think not getting those 3 points to go into the half, you know, that hurt. Come out the second half, we go down, you 3-and-out, and then you go down and you finally get a touchdown. You think, okay, we have some momentum, we've taken the lead. And then naturally, after the big Hopkins catch there, the one-handed catch, everything is downhill, 21 unanswered. And, you know, it's just a lot of the same stuff. Inopportune, but it's the same exact stuff. The false starts at the wrong time. You had the ball on the 1 yard line, bobble snap, sack, false start. Now you're 11. You're 3rd and 11. That type of stuff. That's just bad ball, and bad teams play that style of ball.
You're offside on the onside kick attempt, and you recover. I mean, little tiny things like that. You know, even though that was a close call, it looked like it was the correct call.
We're awaiting the head coach, Gus Bradley. He'll have the first word after the game with Jeff Loggeman coming up. We'll have that live right here. Fred, how do you fix bad ball if it's bad ball for week after week?
You know, Gus, in his post-game interview a week ago, as well as halftime today, he spoke about accountability. You know, and within that, it's more for me, it's attention to detail. These little miscues, the offsides at the wrong time, the false starts there. The guys, they're not focused. You know, they lack focus. And, Gus is the type of coach, I'm pretty sure he's coaching that attention to detail, but it's not translating to the game. So the question I have to ask is the game bigger than the practice? Practice, you prep and you prepare yourself for the game. But sometimes the game is just too big for a lot of guys. I've seen players that way, and they make little, you know, just bonehead mistakes, and those mistakes cost you. I don't know how to fix it
in this particular case,
but, you know, I've seen that this happens over and over and over again. Maybe the best way to fix it is to start putting other players in, give other guys a chance. I don't know.
That's really because you can't get new players right now. I mean, it's the middle of the season, right?
But is that a case where you bury yourself if you do that? You know, or you continuously hammer away at the guys that are out there and hope that they don't make those same mistakes? But, you know, again, look at the false start. I think Parnell is 3 weeks in a row.
Yes.
You know, Indy, Tampa, today. You can't continue to do that. You know, so you're going to hurt the team. And at some point, you got to a man say, look, you're the one that's doing this every week. Clemens, You won a Super Bowl. Snatch these guys and say, look, we can't do this every single week. So you got to go away from the brother-in-law thing. I don't know what the locker room is, but I've seen that before where guys just kind of pat each other on the back and say, my bad. You can't do that.
You know, and you point out happen. Clemens had a key offsides on a third and right. five. That you know, so it's not just young guys that are making some of these mental errors or these lack of attention to detail kind of errors, Fred. And that is where I think I'm at a loss as well. Like, who do you sit down? Do you sit down six different guys? And what is the alternative? Because the reason they're in there is you feel that they're your best chance to succeed on any given week. I'm understanding it can't go on like this indefinitely, but I don't know. I don't think any of us have the answers. I think if we did, we would have passed them along a while ago.
Right.
Agreed.
For sure.
You just got to keep chipping away. You got to keep coming to work. Bring your hard hat, you know, and you have one more before the bye. You know, try your best to get that one. You know, I'm sure the fans in London would love to see their hometown team win one for them. And you take that week off, and you try and regroup and see what happens.
Let's go to the locker room. Jeff Loggeman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, a game certainly tough to take. You know, the second half there, the fourth and one stop, you guys get a Julius Thomas touchdown, take the lead. But then after that, you just lost the control of the game.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, the game didn't turn out the way we'd hoped. I think, you know, it just felt like in that fourth quarter, we started to press. We tried to make some plays, you know, whether it was on defense, offense, special teams. You know, guys just got to stay within their wheelhouse. They tried to press, tried to make some plays, and then, you know, we had some turnovers that cost us.
Talk about turnovers end of the half there. Blake Bortles throws the interception. Right down at about the 2-3 yard line, you know, how much does that hurt? Obviously a mistake, you know, that takes points off the board.
Well, we love Blake for what he goes about and how competitive he is. And, you know, he's learning too. That's what we talked about a little bit about pressing. You know, you're in a situation like that, just throw it out of bounds or throw it out of the end zone, and, you know, we'll live to fight again. But, you know, saw Julius try to make a play and, you know, it didn't work out.
What does it take to get this team to be able to take the next step?
Well, I think, you know, we're seeing the truth is there's good and the truth is there's not so good. And I think everybody's got to do their part. But I think now there's a couple guys or some guys in that stage where they want it so badly, they're pressing to try to make it happen rather than, you know, when you do that, sometimes mistakes happen. And that's what took place today. And we just got to trust and believe and go through it all. And, you know, that's how you got to do it.
Some injuries in the ballgame, the most important one I think a lot of people are curious about, Allen Robinson. Any word on Allen Robinson?
No, I don't know, you know, exactly what took place. It might have been a contusion. So, you know, if that's the case, that's better news than what previously thought. So, you know, as soon as I meet with the trainers, we'll let everybody know.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Thank you.
Jeff Loggeman with head coach Gus Bradley with the first word after the Jags fall to the Houston Texans. We'll come back in a moment. Jeff Loggeman inside the locker room. Tough place today. Houston, the Texans, they're now 2-4 with a 31-20 win over the Jaguars, who fall to 1-5. More Jaguars postgame in a moment on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score at Everbank Field in Week 6, Texans 31, Jaguars 20. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. We'll get to Jeff Loggeman inside the Jags locker room in just a moment. Blake Bortles today, 30 of 53, 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, though, the costly part of this game. The interception down towards the goal line at the end of the half, of course. Another pick six, which has been a theme in his early career. We'll go inside the locker room now. Sindarik Marks actually made his debut today, and he's with Jeff Loggeman right now. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Sindarik, how frustrating is this, four consecutive losses for this football team?
You know, it's frustrating. The most frustrating part about it is, you know, we was playing good football and we had a lead, and it just seemed like we're not finishing. You know, but for us, we have to keep our team going. I mean, we're 1-5. It's not the end of the world, but our leaders have to keep the morale of the group up, and we just got to put our front foot forward and keep moving.
How do you move forward and eliminate some of those things that are costing you games?
You know, we've been talking about that's been the topic, you know, the whole entire year. We have to we have to eliminate those mistakes, and we have to hold everybody accountable. Everybody, I don't know if you look at yourself or you need somebody else to bring you up or come and give you a boost. I'm not sure. But for us, we as leaders of this team, we have to keep the morale up and make sure we go out and do everything we can to finish games.
For you personally, the last game that you played last year against the Houston Texans, you tore a knee, ACL, undergo the reconstruction. Today was your first game back from that ACL reconstruction. How did it go?
You know, I think it went good. I moved around well, had some real good efficient movement. I got a chance to open it up and run after the ball. And, you know, I felt like I had some pretty good steps and fitted on my blocks, you know, the way that I should. So I felt good about it. I came out strong, and I can't wait to watch the film and see exactly how it looked.
And the next step for you is getting repetitions, getting the conditioning up to where you can be the old Sen Derek.
The next step for me is being my old self, you know, trying to get back into old form of how I was and how I was able to lead the guys.
All right, thank you, Sen Derek.
No problem at all.
All right, Sen Derek Marks in the Jaguars locker room made his debut today. Before we went in the locker room, we're talking about Blake Bortles' day. The interceptions were a killer today bad timing for the – not that there's a good time for an interception, but end of the half, get something or nothing out of that, and you don't get anything at all. You get the interception and then the pick six as well. Bad timing for the picks today.
You know, any pick six is all bad.
Bad.
It's all bad. And I think for Blake, he's 100% in the loss column when he throws a pick six. That's unfortunate. We escaped one early as well, the defensive – penalty on that interception.
Yep, that's right.
You know, I don't know. Is it pressure? Is it just bad decisions? You know, I'm trying to figure it out myself because it's the same thing over and over and over. So Blake has to improve in that area.
Well, Blake was hurt, and there was talk that he might not practice on Wednesday. He kind of laughed that off when Wednesday rolled around. He said, hey, I'm fine. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. Did you notice anything, Fred? I didn't see him grabbing towards his shoulder or anything like that. It didn't look like he always had a lot of velocity on the ball. Some of that was getting hit as he tried to throw. But right. Did you notice anything off with him physically at all today?
No, I thought he was great. It was early, you know, with the exception of the one I just spoke on, the no call, well, the penalty defensively. Yep. But my notes, I had accuracy, decisiveness. You know, never die mentality. He was elusive, making some moves. Reminds you a lot of Big Ben. You know, maybe that was the wind that you saw, Mike. Pretty windy out there. But he didn't look like he was a lot more accurate than he was a week ago, I thought earlier. Just didn't make those decisions, the right decisions.
We'll come back in a moment. Get ready, Fred. We'll have the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for you today. We're going to quiz you when we get back.
Quiz me.
That's right.
Quiz me.
Get ready. 31-20, the final score. Texans over the Jaguars. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. After the Jags fall in Week 6, 31-20, the final score today at Everbank Field. The Texans are now 2-4, and the Jags fall to 1-5. They'll head to London next week to face the Buffalo Bills. It's time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, where do you start to try to turn this thing around?
JP, I think you start with the line. First of all, defensive line first. You got to win in the trenches. I think we need pressure to help the secondary create some turnovers. On the offensive side, up front as well, get better in the run game.
Fred, you talk about the lines of scrimmage. Are there any particular players or position groups that you think personnel changes, at least in the starting lineup, need to be considered?
You know, I thought the interior D-line played well today. They had some penetration there. I like to see more from the defensive end position.
And finally, Sen Derek Marks said this team has to learn how to finish. How do you learn how to finish?
It starts for me, it starts in the classroom. You got to focus. You got to learn your stuff, then focus, discipline. Carries over to the field, execute. Bottom line, make the plays you're supposed to make.
There you have it. Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers from Fred Taylor. I guess you got to finish to learn how to finish, right? I mean, is that kind of how that works?
You got to finish, but again, you know, it starts in preparation.
Okay.
You know, you focus, you know, you create that discipline, that sense of urgency that we got to get this done as a unit, and then good things will happen. Until you do that, you're going to still see a lot of bad plays out there.
How much does what Gus Bradley talked about in a couple of his answers today play into that? He's talked about them pressing in the fourth quarter, and, you know, that's really, you know, is it accumulating on these players now as that record starts to mount in the wrong direction that here we are, we have to pull this out, and they're putting extra pressure on themselves in that situation?
And when you say pressing, as Gus said, pressing, what jumps out to me is inexperience. Experienced guys, they don't flinch. You know, they don't press. They understand that, you know, we got this much time left. Something good is going to happen. I'm going to go out there and make a play. Yeah, you want that attitude and that mindset, yet you don't let that moment be bigger than what it is. And I think the lack of experience or the youth there, you know, that jumps out, and you're going to make those bad mistakes. You're going to press, and then it's going to lead to bad plays.
We'll come back in a moment and listen to the highlights. Well, plenty on the other side today.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately. We'll pick a Bud Light play of the game a little later. An EverBank stats check. Final score, 31-20. Texans over the Jaguars. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score in week 6, Texans 31, Jaguars 20. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time to listen to the highlights from today's game. Plenty of highlights for the Houston Texans. Unfortunately, we'll pick a Bud Light play of the game as well. Well, the Houston Texans opened the scoring in the first quarter. A 16-play drive. They were pinned back on their 1-yard line. Drove 99 yards in just over 8 minutes. A 16-play drive. The final play of that drive, a 14-yard touchdown pass from Hoyer to the running back Foster.
Hoyer drops. Looks. It's a blitz. He dumps it off into the check down to Foster, and that's going to be a touchdown for the Texans. Foster circled out of the backfield. Hoyer found him, and it's a 14-yard touchdown for Houston.
7-0 Houston. The Jags, though, next drive. They drive down the field 75 yards. 14 plays in just under 7 minutes. Bortles in the corner of the end zone to Allen Robinson.
Under center. Looking right instead. Fires to the corner of the end zone for Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson makes the catch. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Robinson from a yard away. And Jacksonville an extra point away from tying this thing up.
So the Jags tied it up. Novak hit a 41-yard field goal for Houston. Made it 10-7. The Jaguars driving towards the end of the first half. They get down close, but then Blake Bortles throws an interception right before halftime.
First down, four receiver set, shotgun for Bortles. Dropping, looking, fires to the back of the end zone. That ball is, was it intercepted? A diving attempt. That ball was intercepted at the goal line.
Andre Howe with a pick. It was the a preview of what was going to come later from Howe today. Well, the Jags in the second half, it was 10-7 halftime score, by the way. The Texans led the Jaguars. So in the second half, a couple of punts, one for each side. The Jaguars on defense get a turnover on downs when Houston tries to go for it on fourth and short. The ensuing Jaguars drive on a short field. They go down and score. Julius Thomas left wide open over the middle. 29-yard touchdown to take the lead.
Shotgun for Bortles. Straight drop. They blitz. They send six. Blake throws to the middle of the field. Wide open! That is going to be a touchdown for the touchdown maker, Julius Thomas. And Jacksonville has taken the lead.
14-10 was the score entering the fourth quarter. The Jaguars led this game. But then the Texans started reeling off touchdowns. Hoyer to Hopkins for the first time, this from 9 yards.
Having trouble getting lined up. Four on the play clock. They snap it out of the shotgun. Four-man rush for Jacksonville. Look at the time. Fires into the end zone. Did he catch it or did he bobble it? Now they say touchdown. It moved, but the two officials say he hung on, so it's going to be a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins, at least for now.
That's a catch.
17-14, the score. The Jags go three and out. Punt it right back. Hoyer to Hopkins, 26 yards out, this time for another Texans touchdown.
Shotgun for Hoyer. Four-man rush, looking. Throws it out to the left side. DeAndre Hopkins is wide open. He ran right by Devon House. Touchdown, Texans, from 26 yards away.
24-14. The Jags back on offense. Andre Howell had a pick earlier in the game. Another Howell pick, this one to the house from 31 yards away, that really sealed the game.
Four-man front for the Texans. They bring four. Fires it, and it's picked off. That is going to be a pick six. He threw it behind Julius Thomas, and it is run back somewhat easily for the touchdown. Andre Howell, his second interception of the game. That is a pick six and a touchdown for the Houston Texans.
31-14 the score. The Jags do drive back down the field. Bortles hits Allen Hurns with an 11-yard score.
Three left, one right. Mercedes Lewis lined up to the right. Dropping is Bortles on fourth down. Now scrambling to his left. Watt is chasing him. Fires it into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. On the run, he found Allen Hurns in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown.
31-20, the extra point no good. So 31-20 score. The Jags unable to get the onside kick. They do get the ball back, driving first down a couple of drives later. The third and final interception of the day from Blake Bortles.
Shotgun formation, empty backfield for Blake. Texans lead 31-20. Dropping is Bortles. Looks, fires it. Picked off. Third interception of the game for the Texans. That is intercepted by A.J. Bouye. Gave himself up and is down at the 14-yard line.
The Andre Howell pick six is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. It reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. And unfortunately, that was the play that really extended this game out and put the Texans up. Well, the Texans were up, put them well out in front to put this game out of reach today. Final score, 31-20. Texans over the Jaguars in Week 6. We're back in a moment with an EverBank final stats check. Jags fall to 1-5. The Texans are 2-4. And more Jaguars postgame with Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor in just a moment on the Jaguars Radio Network. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor after the Jags fall 31-20 to the Houston Texans in Week 6. It's time now for an EverBank final stats check. And not pretty today. Let's go over the team stats first. The Jags, 26 first downs to 24. Yardage, 394 to 382. Jaguars led there. Rushing yardage, not much for either team today. 95 for the Texans, 83 on the ground for the Jags. A lot of passing yards late for the Jaguars, 311 in the game, 287. Third downs today is going to be a key stat. The Texans, I think, scored on three third down touchdowns today. 7 of 14 for the game for the Texans offense. The Jags were 5 of 15 on third down. They converted on fourth down twice in this game. But third downs, there was some inopportune penalties today. 7 penalties, 64 yards for the Jags, 10 for 69 yards for the Texans. Third downs, the key today. Couldn't get off the field a lot of times on third down and in key situations, especially on the touchdowns.
Yeah, even on that one drive where the Jags forced them to a turnover on downs, they completed a couple of thirds and picked up a big gain on third down that left them with fourth and short as well. So not very tight in coverage there. For the individual numbers, Blake Bortles, 331, but it took him 53 attempts to get there, averaged 6.2 yards per attempt. The three touchdowns, good. We've talked about the three interceptions. Those were killers today. Hoyer threw for 293, three touchdowns without a turnover on his part today. On the ground, Bortles, 4 for 37. Not much going in the running game today. Toby Gerhart, 9 carries for 26 yards. And Denard Robinson had 19 on 7 attempts. Arian Foster didn't go wild. He only averaged 2.9 yards a carry, 18 carries for 53 yards. It was the receiving game of DeAndre Hopkins. 10 grabs, 148. And this is a guy at the half at 3 for 33. So monster second half for him with the two touchdowns. Cecil Shorts came back with 4 for 63. For the Jaguars, actually, Brian Walters led them in yardage today. 8 catches, 87 yards. Allen Robinson, 6 for 86 with a score. Julius Thomas, 7 for 78 with a touchdown. Hearns, 2 for 30, and he had the last score of the game for Jacksonville.
Hopkins, 10 catches, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. We were talking about this during the break and during the game, actually, you and I, Mike. House, first half, had him covered.
He was player of the game for 30 minutes. I mean, he really was. I thought he did a tremendous job locking him down. It wasn't like they weren't looking for him. And, Fred, I mean, I guess over time, that's why those guys are as good as they are. You can't shut them down for 60 minutes.
Exactly. And he's going to get his targets. Here he had 15 targets, so I'm guessing about maybe another 8 or 9 in the second half, and they were big. You know, and the 2 big third downs were, you know, that doesn't happen a lot, man, but you got to find a way to get off the field. You got to get off the field.
Yeah, you just got to get off the field. I mean, it's a third down situation, and it was the key to today's game. Final score, the Texans 31, the Jaguars 20. There's the Everbank final stats check. We'll come back in a moment. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. We'll pick a Safe Touch Security player of the game. The injury report coming up a bit later. A few Jags nicked up today. 31-20. Texans win it over the Jags in Week 6. Jaguars postgame continues in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 31-20. The Texans are now 2-4. The Jags fall to 1-5. They'll head to London next week to face the Buffalo Bills. Time for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. We'll vote for it as always. Fred Taylor gets a vote and a half. Mike, you and I get a vote each. And who you got today, Michael?
I'll go with Julius Thomas today. He wasn't perfect. Did have a couple of drops early in the football game. But his first really extended action of the season for the Jaguars. Scored his first touchdown. 7 grabs, 78 yards. I'll go with Julius.
Mr. Taylor, do you have one yet?
Yeah. I have to go with Julius as well. It's just a good thing to see that the tight ends are getting the targets that they didn't get earlier in the season, 13 targets. Again, he had some drops early, but he fought through it in the big touchdown. Right,
and Julius Thomas, of course, does open up some things for other receivers, yeah, too. That helps the offense as a whole. So his presence and his targets today make Julius Thomas the unanimous Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. Thomas, 13 targets, 7 catches, 78 yards, and the touchdown, where he was wide open, by the way, over the middle of the defense to get it done. Julius Thomas, the Player of the Game today. So, there you have it, 31-20, the final score. We'll come back in just a moment and look through the injury report. Quite a lengthy one today. We'll try to get you updated on what happened to a few of the Jaguars who were nicked up in this game. Final score, 31-20, Texans over the Jags. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. Jags fall 31-20 to the Houston Texans in Week 7. Week 7's coming up in London. We're talking London in the break and got confused there. That's coming up one game, yes, at a time, guys. Let's get through this one first. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few guys nicked up today in this game. Washington, the wide receiver, was out with a quad injury. Corey Grant was out of the game with a quad injury at one point. Chris Clemens, the Jaguars defensive end, lower back tightness, but was back on the field. And the most notable and the most concerning, Allen Robinson. Not that other injuries aren't concerning, but Allen Robinson, starting wide receiver, into the game, right leg contusion. That was the play where the safety came in, kicked each other in the shin. Well, the safety got the worst end of it. Yeah. It looks like a broken leg for him. Allen Robinson with a contusion is what they're calling that right now, and thankfully it's not anything more, at least we know of right now.
We're talking in here, Fred. You weren't in here, but I said it to JP. I'm shocked that you don't have more lower leg injuries than you do in the National Football League. There's really no protection there, and you're getting hit shoulder pad or helmet on bone a lot of the time, man. You're shaking your head with a smile like you remember a few of those shots.
You know what? The hits that look the worst, the ones the linebackers crushing you in your chest, those don't hurt at all. I mean, you're fully protected. The ones that hurt me and I hate it all the time were those cover 2 corners coming up with their spill technique, and they're just tagging you on the shin. And I hated that more than any other hit. So, you know, I had a little smirk on my face there.
Yeah.
It should, you would think it would be more leg injuries from hits. But a lot of times those injuries, like the ACLs and those knees, they just sort of happen. Guys are blowing them out without even getting tackled. That's how intense this game is.
You look at A-Rob now. We don't know. Hopefully, you know, it's a contusion. Hopefully he'll be able to go next week. But you don't know about Marquise Lee at this point in time. You lost Tony Washington today. You are rapidly running out of wide receivers on this football team.
Brian Walters.
And Alan
Hearns.
You know, he did his
job.
And
Alan Hearns is banged up, too, now.
Alan Hearns is banged up. He's been banged up. Yeah. He's been playing hurt. But, you know, Brian Walters does what he does. He goes in there and makes the most of his opportunities. But you need more bodies for next week. You might need to make some moves this week,
I think they find a way to get through next week against the tough Buffalo Bills defense. And then they have a bye week. That's the only thing you look forward to is the bye and hopefully getting some guys back. TJ. You know, help that growing, healing that soft tissue injury up a little bit and getting the other guys back out there and go back to the drawing board and try your best to regroup, you know.
Got to do it. We'll come back in a moment and we'll preview that game in London at Wembley Stadium against the Buffalo Bills. Final score today in week 6. The Jaguars fall to the Houston Texans 31-20. Final moments of Jaguars postgame with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey coming up. This is the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor. Jags fall 31-20 in week 6. The Jags are heading to London, Wembley Stadium, this coming week to face the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, you know, hey, they got solid defense. Tyrod Taylor might not go. E.J. Manuel went today for the Bills, and you know, let's go back. We started the show, Fred. You said it's just bad ball, and this is going to be a very difficult week around Everbank Field to figure out some things to get past that to move forward to this London game. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to that. Where do you start cleaning up the bad ball?
Well, the team, they start with, you know, be honest Monday, tell the truth Monday, being accountable. You know, I think to a man, you have to go in there and assess yourself. Assess your play, see what you could do as an individual to get better as you watch the film. You know, but you have to have some sort of sense of urgency. You know, you can't lie to yourself or your teammate. You know, tell the guy, look, I'm going to give you my best this week. You know, it doesn't look good right now, hadn't looked good, but I'm going to bring everything I got to the table. Look a guy in the eye, and that's what you do. Make a pact with each other. So, you know, the meetings, they'll be a little bit depressing tomorrow. It's hard to watch those films when you lose, especially in this fashion. But they got to watch it. They got to be honest. And they got to go out there and find a way to make it happen.
We hear a lot from players, coaches as well, about the need to play better and not focus on the outcome, but focus on the steps to get the outcome that you want. Fred, does there just need to be some more blatant talk about we need to win football games? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of talk about development and things we can learn from, but bottom line, did somebody need to speak up and say, that's it, no more, we have to win, we have to do that now? I don't know if that has an effect or not. What do you think?
You know, I think it's good to say that, but still, there are little pieces of the puzzle. You have to just keep chipping away. You keep chipping away. I mean, there are teams in history that have started slow, and they pick up some steam late. You know, and they find a way to just make that happen. So, you know, you go back and you watch the film. The coaches got to say, look, this is what this guy's strengths are. This is what these guys are good at. Let's just keep on, you know, grinding and grinding at it and see what comes of it. So you go back, you watch the film. Guys have to be completely honest with themselves and just keep going out there playing their butts off. And eventually something good should happen.
Fred, were you ever part of a 1-5 start?
Man, JP, you put me on the spot. I don't think so.
I don't remember you ever being on one here.
We've had some ugly starts, but 1-5, I don't recall. I really don't.
Uncharted, and certainly not at Florida when you were there.
No, we lost 6 games in 4 years there. But
right, yeah.
Hey, jeez, this is the league. This is where it really happens. But no, 1-5, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be for this Jaguars team. They're going to Wembley next week to place the Buffalo Bills, who are 3-3. They lost today to the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are undefeated, though. The Bills, like we said, the defense, pretty darn good. They have some weapons on offense. One of them might have been hurt today. But what do you think about the Bills, Fred?
You know, just going back, looking at their stats and what they've given up a few weeks, I mean, they just gave up 34 today. And I think they gave up another 30-plus to the Ravens. They have good players that aren't necessarily you know, they started off the season good, solid.
Yeah, sure.
But to give up 30-plus points, you know, you don't really scare anybody. Offense has got to feel like, hey, we can go in there and put up some points on them. They've done it at least twice this year. So if you want to be that defense that people fear, you keep it to around 10, 14 points, 13 points per game. So they have the players. But much like our defense, we have pretty good players. They're not making the necessary plays to keep those scores down. Going to the offense, just to jump sides right
yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't wish bad on anyone, but, you know, our defense got to feel good about not having to possibly guard Sammy Watkins next week. He's on crutches, and their tight end is the leading receiver there. So, you know, it gives you an opportunity to say, look, this is their threat. You know, Clay, he's their threat. Harvin isn't doing a whole lot, but he's a gadgetry type.
And he's probably out for a while now. He's probably not going to play next week, too.
Right. So, I mean, it should at least make you feel that we got this. And sometimes you got to feel that way. You don't want to take any teams for granted, but you have to, you know, at least in your mind say, you know, we got this, and I'm going to make sure I embarrass that guy in front of me. So –
Then go do it.
That's the next step. You can say it all week long, Fred. You got to go do it in London.
I was always a note taker, JP.
I know.
And I wrote so much stuff on the paper. I figured, you know, if I wrote 20 things on there, half of them probably would happen. So maybe these guys need to start taking notes and putting, what is it, the vision board.
There you go. Positive reinforcement.
You got to do something. Got to do something.
Your note taking is epic, in fact.
Hey, man.
It really is.
You know, I have five pages
of pages. Yes.
You know, I got defense, offense, turnovers, penalties, big plays, big plays, D, my thoughts.
Yeah.
Players, individuals. I just got a lot of stuff, man.
It's like you're back in the classroom again. That's how you did it as a player, too.
I'm still.
And it worked for you as a player.
Passer rating thing on the computer over there.
Yeah, when you do, let us know how that works.
Fred, well done. We'll talk to you in London next week.
That's right. That's right, mate.
That's my
accent.
It's the Commonwealth, but that's close enough. That's Australia.
It's not good day, mate. It's chap.
Yeah,
chap.
There you go. Chap.
Chap works.
Chaps.
Chap
yeah.
works.
That's closer.
I know the fish and chips, though. I know that much.
You got to say it with the accent, though.
Fish and chips.
Chaps.
You can't do it.
Chap.
Fred, we'll talk to you over there. Look forward to it, man.
Of course.
Fred
indeed.
Taylor,
thank
Mike
Freddie.
Dempsey. Phone calls, if you're listening to our flagship station here in Jacksonville, 1010XL, 1-800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. VP of Communications is Dan Edwards, Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. The final score, 31-20, Texans over the Jags in Week 6 on the Jaguars Radio Network.